This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
1933 on Power Business. Now, as I said, it is Small Business Tuesday. It means we spend some time speaking to a small business. And tonight is no different. I'm joined on the line by Mpopi Ikube, who is CEO and co-founder at Zivoli Growth Partners, and joins us this evening to unpack the wonderful work of the business. And Mpopi, good evening to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. Thank you for the invite. I'm really looking forward to this chat.
Yes, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. And Mpopi, before we get into Zivoli and what it does, let's talk about you, where you're from, and also, you know, how you land up in entrepreneurship.
Well, my history of my journey towards entrepreneurship is quite an interesting one. So context-wise, I started my career in financial services. But very early in my career, it became quite clear that I'm particularly curious around transformation, specifically Black economic empowerment. At the time, the policy hadn't been introduced and I had an opportunity to sink my teeth into it. And I quite enjoyed helping us find expression on how to level the playing fields for South Africans at large.
Let's talk then about, founding Zivoli. Who was around the table? I do believe that you're a co-founder. Let's talk about your co-founders and deciding that this would be the work of your life.
Well, my co-founder is my business partner, Hepsi Mkungo. We've known each other for many years. We were actually friends before we were business partners. And I think our journeys were quite similar in that we were intrigued by the idea of contributing to ideally the impact of South Africans at large, but we realized that we actually wanted to get more involved with capacitating small businesses so that they can actively participate in the formal economy. And so we came together because we realized that this is actually a shared goal. And she had really good experience that I didn't have, and my experience likewise complemented hers. So our view was that we're probably better together than apart. And that's essentially how we came together to found the business 10 years ago this month, actually.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that achievement. Many businesses in South Africa don't make it to 10 years, Mpopi. So let's talk about Zivoli and the work that you do, what the typical day at Zivoli Made look like.
Sure, I wish we had a typical day. It probably depends on which team member you speak to. But I mean, the work that we do is really around developing bespoke SME capacity building programs, particularly for rural, peri-urban and township SMEs. So we spend a lot of our time, well, the execution team spends a lot of the time outside of the office because we try and develop and execute a hybrid model where our capacity building interventions, some are digital, but some of them do need to be in person, especially because of the geographical areas that a lot of the small businesses that we work with are located. So a typical day is anything between running a training session, running mentorship sessions, or spending a day with the entrepreneur, just helping them problem solve whatever challenges they're grappling with.
I want to speak about businesses that are in rural, peri-urban and township communities, but we know that, of course, these environments can actually give to wonderful markets that are untapped, and these entrepreneurs could thrive. What are we seeing in those parts where SMMEs are concerned?
Look, I find that the further you go away from urban, the more you are going to encounter entrepreneurship by necessity. I mean, our unemployment stats are a common truth that I think we all know. But when you double click in the kind of areas that we work with, again, rural, peri-urban and township, I do think a disproportionate number of SMEs or people are finding that they're unemployed and therefore are forced to become entrepreneurs by necessity. So it creates quite an interesting dynamic because I always say when you work with urban SMEs, we're addicted to numbers like turnover growth and job creation and very, very appealing numbers when you storytell. But we have had to be very deliberate about the fact that whilst it's important to track revenue and jobs created, our intention primarily is to help the people that are finding themselves become entrepreneurs, sometimes, as I said, by necessity, to develop the right habits that are likely to increase their chances of success. And so we tend to emphasize the soft skills than we do the hard skills. And we trust that through that focus that we adopt, we will still get to a point where we achieve a certain level of growth in terms of turnover and jobs created. But it's certainly not our primary focus.
I want to also speak about, you know, the issue of financing and funding, maybe for Zivoli as a business, first of all, because you're an entrepreneur yourself and also working with entrepreneurs. Bobby, tell us that you've got a very comprehensive view of this landscape. Just speak to us about what is actually happening in South Africa. Is there money? Who is it for? And also, what are investors asking entrepreneurs to be able to produce in order for them to give it?
Yeah, that's a really great question and a topic that I love talking about. So is there money? Yes, it's almost at the risk of there's too much money. But I always argue that I don't think it's the absence or presence of the money that we should be talking about. It's more the right money at the right time for the right reason. And certainly from the profile of SMEs that we work with, we find that small businesses view access to funding almost as an antibiotic. If I can just get money, it actually doesn't matter what illness I have, it will solve it.
Yeah.
So it's an overly romanticized view of the problems that money can solve. And we find that the opposite is often true. If you get the wrong money at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, it literally could kill your business. And so our focus with our small businesses is that we try and help them understand the funding landscape, because I also find that when we talk about funding, we almost talk about it in a homogenous manner. And there are very many different types of funding instruments in the market, and they serve different purposes for different small businesses at different times for different reasons. But we've practicalized how we respond to that problem statement in that we've also published a series of funding handbooks. And our objective was to make the information accessible, simple to understand, and palatable, because a lot of the terms tend to be lost on a lot of the small businesses that are looking to understand this notion of funding, but also which one is the right one for me for the problem that I'm grappling with. But conversely, am I even ready for this funding? Because a lot of the times, the small businesses that we work with are not. But to answer the second question about what funding, well, the partner to whom you're applying for funding would look for, it really depends. The more debt funding you're going to look for, the more they're going to look for track record, financial history, financial muscle when it comes to your track record, but also some degree of collateral. But if you're looking more for an investor, they tend to be more interested, obviously, in equity, but it depends on how they value your business. So it really comes down to looking for the right funding at the right time for the right reasons, and that will inform what it is that the funder that you're approaching will be asking you for.
Certainly a very nuanced. I mean, I remember hearing about pre-seed and seed. You just like, what are people talking about here? It can certainly be lots and lots of jargon there. I also want to speak about then, you know, some of those softer skills that you are offering to, you know, the businesses that you serve, Mpopi, and what you are finding to be some of the basic things that some of these businesses are challenged by, but also some of the more complex ones.
So at a basic level, professionalism. And, you know, it's quite broad when we talk about professionalism. We, in the early days when we started working with the small businesses, we felt that if we capacitate the business, we've essentially set the entrepreneur up for success. We have very quickly learned that professionalism in the business is negated by professionalism in the individual. And so we've had to have a very holistic view around, first of all, what do we mean by professionalism? Because we were also learning that our theory was that professionalism is in how you present your brand, but it really comes down to a number of elements. It even comes down to matters of ethics that also fall under the notion of professionalism. So we've had to simplify it as basic as that. Let's start with professionalism, both the individual and the business. And then a big thing and a daunting thing for a lot of entrepreneurs is finances. I don't know what I'm doing with my personal finances. I definitely don't know what I'm doing with my business finances. And sometimes I don't even know that there's a difference between the two. And so finances is a very big theme. But also another one that we're finding, particularly post-COVID, is people used to really rely on word of mouth and in-person engagements to do business development. We are now very deliberate about focusing on, firstly, what is sales versus marketing, because again, the terms tend to be used interchangeably, and really supporting our entrepreneurs to not only focus on marketing, but focus on digital marketing. So those are some of the key areas that we really focus on. The balance of what we do is really quite SME specific and industry specific. So we also do focus on technical competence for the industry that you're in, but that is informed by the industry that you obviously operate in.
This kind of, Bobby, hand-holding, I think some of it is for SMEs, is a kind of the work that nobody wants to do. And I'm very keen to find out about that journey. You know, nobody wants, people just want the SMEs to figure it out. They'll tell you the business finances are not your personal finances. But that can be very tricky when people are trying to make ends meet. It does sometimes require to really make, you know, friends with entrepreneurs and to walk them through journeys, because the business often has a high potential. Are you finding that it's you know, easy to find people who are willing to partner with Zivoli to do this kind of work?
So, you know, I find that we are very clear about our values and our why. And I think when you show up with that kind of clarity, you almost become a magnet and you attract people that share very similar values and very similar reason for why they do what they do. So we find that with our corporate clients, and our strategic partners, we have a shared view about the world, and it's really informed by our altruism. And so we've been very fortunate in that we do attract like-minded people. Again, this is both on the part of the corporate that's funding the entrepreneurs on our programs, but also on the strategic partners with whom we execute programs. And our hope is that we're also starting to positively influence our entrepreneurs. But it would be very naive for me to think that all entrepreneurs that go through our programs are going to come out on the other side looking very similar. We're challenged, of course, by the work. And as you said, it's not the sexiest work to do. But for us, it's more a calling than anything. Mm-hmm. And so it really helps us show up in the best way that we can every single day and be very deliberate about the interventions that we deploy for the benefit of our entrepreneurs. At the end of the day, our fundamental belief is that it's critical for us to level the playing fields, because if we don't get to a point where corporates don't hesitate when they need to engage an entrepreneur for a procurement opportunity, then we've failed. And we know the stats around the critical role that SMEs play in any market. And the same is true here in South Africa. Again, particularly because a lot of our entrepreneurs by necessity. So it's really important for us to provide them with the support that they need for them to become sustainable businesses.
I want to talk also about, you know, those partners that you've brought online here as you try to build your profile as a business and as you scale. Bobby, what have been some of the key lessons that you've learned about running an impactful enterprise in South Africa? Because, I mean, you could have done anything, but you wanted to do this impactful work. It was a calling. You know, what has that been like?
So in the beginning, it was a tough journey. I think anybody that starts out a business will recognize what I'm about to share, in that, you know, when you're starting out, you really are a startup, much like the businesses that we work with. And until you establish your brand, nobody is really falling over to work with you. So we had to be very deliberate about gaining traction, but also demonstrating to the market that we have the competence and the capability to do the work that we're tasked with. But what you also start to learn in the very early stages of your business, especially because there is the temptation to take any work that comes your way, because there isn't really a lot of work coming your way, I find that gives you a very good opportunity to become very clear about the kind of work that you're willing to do and the kind of work you're not willing to do, and the kind of people that you're willing to work with and the kind of people you're not willing to work with. Because when you are in that phase of your business where you really are forced to take everything, it's a tough phase and it's not fun, but it teaches you a lot of important lessons. And the more you learn those lessons, the more you become clear. So I think we're fortunate, because 10 years in, you have established your brand in the market. You are very clear on the people that you would like to align yourself with. And so you're in a better position to choose partners and choose work. But it's not without going through the trenches that we went through to become very clear about who we are, the identity of ourselves as a brand, that we're able to then attract other people whose identities and brands were very aligned with our values.
Have you had to fire your clients in the past?
Pardon?
Have you ever had to fire clients?
Yes, I mean, I do choose the politically correct word that I opted to recuse myself from the mandate.
Love it,
But yes, we've had to be quite candid because, you know, I'm sensitive, for example, about a simple thing like I don't appreciate my team being verbally abused. Mm. And so a simple thing like that where it for me, it's borderline disrespectful. I believe that if we as partners, implementation partners and clients are at a point where we can't afford each other respect, then we have to call it. It's important for us to say, look, we're not on the same page. Our values are not aligned. And so we're probably not the right partners for you. And so we respectfully then remove ourselves from the situation.
Absolutely love that. I think it's important just to also, exercise your values in business. I just want to speak to you about, some of the work that you do is BEE facing. Let's talk about that, this piece of legislation and maybe how it does pertain to issues of ESD and the likes. Is it doing what it can? Could it be better?
It can always be better. Mm-hmm. And this is not unique, I think, to the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Codes. I think it's true to everything. Like, no matter how great you get at something, you can always improve on it. But is it true to what it's intended to do? I believe so. I believe that without this particular code of good practice, I don't believe that we would have seen the progress that we have seen in the country. And this is across all the scorecard elements, right? Mm. Of course, we double click on enterprise and supplier development, but we could have this conversation no matter whether we're wearing the ownership hat, the management control hat, the enterprise and supplier development hat, or indeed the socioeconomic development hat. But I think for purposes of this conversation, I'll speak to enterprise and supplier development. We work in very remote areas where access is not easy. A lot of work and a lot of benefits that are derived, again, across all the scorecard elements, you typically find that change happens at pace in urban. It's less true in rural and peri-urban. It's difficult for me then to hold the view that if we didn't have a lever like enterprise and supplier development, where corporate South Africa at large is required to spend 3% of their net profit after tax on developing small businesses, if we didn't have that, I don't believe that we would be seeing the kind of traction that we're seeing. We work a lot with our corporate clients typically are mining houses, and the mining houses are very deliberate about making sure that they procure a certain portion of their procurement spend from local small businesses. And this is really informed by the codes of good practice. So I'm a firm believer that we've made significant progress as a result of it. There are areas of abuse, and there are always parties that will find the opportunity to manipulate the legislation or the code in this case. So all those things do exist, and one is not naive to them. But I think for us, we've seen the benefit far outweigh the potential pitfalls of what the codes were trying to achieve.
Thank you for that. I think very often, we hear of just the bashing of, the legislation and seldom get a view on really what it might mean for people to see the other side of the coin. We do have a call on the line. Phil from Vattenkloof would like to speak on the issue of professionalizing SMMEs. Phil, good evening. Thank you for your time. Please go ahead.
No, good evening, Othando. Good evening to your learned guests. You know, the professionalizing the individual and professionalizing the business. Let's start with the individual. When you professionalize actually the earlier dream that this person had, what he used to play with when he was young, what he then turned into his dream to say, I want to become this particular person. Now, when you come in as a person to help this person, you are helping that person to realize his earlier dream. Is a path of a heart. Yeah. You don't just get into entrepreneur when you don't have the heart. And then the issue of the there is something that is being called the financing. I don't like that word financing. It's the last thing that we should even think about, because there are certain, you learn before you earn, you get mentored, you get introduced into the master entrepreneurs, those who have been long into this thing, so that they can implement a concept called budding. You know, budding is the growth of an individual on the surface of an existing person. You need to go through that particular thing to say, we are introducing, this is the way to go. Then the financing is the last thing. And in financing, we need to differentiate between the psychology of coloring money, your capital money, your operations money, and we should not be confused with your private money. It's like in the being running an orchard. The capital is the money that you use to, it stays with the business, it grows the business. The operations, you pay yourself, you buy the plants, you buy the seeds. But your private money is money that you pay yourself out of the operations. We should not be confused. Most people end up confused with this particular thing. But we need to, and I congratulate them. Let's instill discipline. It's one way of saying to address the scarcity of South Africans. And thank you very much, and good evening, and God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Phil. The pleasure always hearing from you. But we can get your thoughts on some of those points made by Phil. Even that one of a discipline, right? Being an entrepreneur and being able to delay gratification, say no to yourself and the likes.
Yes. So I actually want to start with the first one, which is the professionalism. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with the sentiments expressed. What I would like to distinguish is, it's almost easier to work with an entrepreneur from whom this is a dream, because they naturally came up with this idea. And again, versus entrepreneurship by necessity, they will harness it quite deliberately. So that delayed gratification and the professionalism and the distinction between your money, the businesses, that comes more naturally to somebody like that, because their why is quite clear. It's not as clear for somebody who's an entrepreneur by necessity, because in essence, the latter was really chasing income generation. And so when the money comes in, that is the income that I was generating. And so for you to talk to me about delayed gratification, it's a contradiction, because I made the money so that I can go buy bread and fulfill my daily needs. I wasn't necessarily trying to start a business that's going to have long-term success. I'm solving today's problem. And also what we find is, people are influenced by their environment. So this notion of professionalism, it's almost, there's a culture of certain behavior that you see in certain environments. And that's some of what we need to help our entrepreneurs unlearn and then relearn other behaviors that they may not have been exposed to. A lot of the SMEs that we work with don't necessarily have local role models that they can look up to. I like the comment about the having a buddy, but we find we have to almost bring in the mentors that become those buddies. And a nuanced thing, like we're very deliberate about our mentors speaking the local dialect so that they can be relatable, because there aren't a lot of mentors and role models in some of the communities that we work with. So we've had to really pay attention to some of those softer things in order for us to help our entrepreneurs develop the habits that we believe will set them up for success.
Thank you for that. I think it's, like I said, very, very, important and nuanced work that you do here. But I must ask you about, your dreams for this business, because I can tell by speaking to you that this is work that is literally very close to your heart. So where are you hoping that you take this machine?
For us, our vision quite literally is contribute to a world where supplier diversity is business as usual. I want to get to a point where corporate South Africa does not hesitate, whether it's a woman, a black youth, a person with disabilities, any supplier that does not look the same as the suppliers that you are accustomed to working with. When that supplier comes to you for an opportunity and you don't hesitate, as a corporate, then we've achieved success. We really are here to level the playing fields. We're saying SMEs equally deserve the opportunity. We recognize that they may have capacity, competence, and capability issues. The reason why we exist is because we want to close those gaps. If the measure of success for us is when you, as Mr. Corporate, go out on RFP and a small business responds, and you don't hesitate for you to appoint them because you no longer have the perceived at times risk of working with SMEs because they deliver at the same level, same quality, same price point, same reliability as your traditional suppliers. That for us is the dream that keeps us going every single day.
It really is a wonderful work that you know you do. Then before actually you go, let's talk about your favorite you know success story. And I'm sure there's many that have touched your heart, and maybe I suspect you know they led you to tears sometimes because of the transformation that is possible here in Vopi. But tell us a little bit more about some of the SMEs that you have helped and that you're most proud of.
There's one that sometimes I'm embarrassed by how proud I am of this particular entrepreneur, but it's a gentleman who took over his business from his father. And when we met him, he had just assumed the position of MD. And to say he was hesitant is a complete understatement. He was insecure. He had a stutter. He just couldn't see himself in this role. And we just asked him to trust the process, give us a year. And for us, it's so funny. For us, the goal was we will get you to a point where we pump you with so much knowledge that it's the knowledge that will make you more confident. After a year, this guy's business had grown. And in the history of the business, his father had not achieved these accolades. He had grown the turnover by 84% and his staff complement by 75%. And when I say he's continued to maintain the momentum of growth over the last few years, I mean it quite literally. I have never seen anybody trust a process like this particular guy and bet on himself. And he's come out extremely confident, extremely eloquent, and is one of the most inspiring leaders, very young, but very inspiring leaders I've come across. So it's very satisfying when you see an entrepreneur, because, you know, entrepreneurs are time poor. When somebody allocates their time to us and trusts our programs and comes out on the other side, exceeding even our expectations, it's just simply remarkable.
Well, Bobby, it's been a pleasure hearing from you, hearing about, you know, the wonderful work that you do at Zivoli, and really wishing you the best and hope to keep hearing about the very impactful work that you do.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation and have a good rest of your show.
Thank you so much, Mpopi. Okay, go then. Well, wonderful. Keep that up. Was Mpopi Kupe, CEO and co-founder of Zivoli Growth Partners. I think a wonderful upbeat way to wrap up the Small Business Tuesday edition of A Power Business.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.